the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Minnesota Wild, who entered the NHL at the same time. And here they are, setting a record that might never be broken because it's taken 100 years to get here. We've never had two teams with more than 7 game win streaks play each other. Now you've got the Wild with 12 and the Columbus freaking Blue Jackets winning 14 in a row. Aaron Portsline, who has covered that team basically since their inception. Man, you've went months and months when you've never seen 14 wins. Never mind 14 consecutive. This is like, how's Blue Jackets fans dealing with this success?
Well, let me back up for a second. The scene of the guy stealing the ATM and the front loader, he stole that from the Trailer Park Boys movie.
Yeah,
how it started.
Yeah, it's a very good
point. That's how the movie opened.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Yeah, so back to the Blue Jackets. Here's one way to get your arms around this, and this has been the challenge, frankly, is how do you get your arms around this success? Because it's not been incremental. It's been out of nowhere for the Blue Jackets. They won their 14th game in a row last night, December 29th, which is the day a season previously that they won their 14th game, period. Right? This is how far this team has come in such a short amount of time. I mean, they're 27th in the league last year. Now they're first in the league. They've won 14 games in a row. They're at 52 points. They were at 76 points all of last season. So they're almost, you know, they're more than two-thirds of the way to last season. They've only played 34 games. They're behind almost everybody in the games played department. It's crazy. I mean, I would say I've never seen anything like it. That goes without saying. Of course, I've never seen anything like it. That's what makes it so unusual.
Oh, their second last game was maybe the one game where they didn't play great, right? But for the most part, they've really been in control of a lot of these games.
Yeah, looked at the numbers again today. In the 14 games, they've only trailed a total of 70 minutes. They've never been down by 2 goals. They've been down by 1 goal a few times. I think they've allowed the first goal to be scored against them in 3 of the 14 games. And I think, if I'm remembering correctly, I think in 8 of the games, they've led the entire way. So there's a one game back early in the streak where they were down and they scored with a little more than 2 minutes left. Wenberg had a great goal in Phoenix to push it into overtime and then into a shootout. They won in the shootout. But other than that, not a ton of close calls in this whole streak.
Aaron Portsline from the Columbus Dispatch joins us. Aaron, Sam Gagne, Werenski, are those the two guys that are making this power play run? Why is it so successful?
Yeah, well, Wenberg has a big part in it as well. But you know, Werenski's one of those guys that Columbus just has not had, A, the talent, but B, the position. I mean, as a defenseman, to do what he's doing as a 19-year-old defenseman, it hasn't been seen since Doughty, and it's never been seen in Columbus. The way that he controls the power play, Gagne has had a big part of it, but really the power play goes through Werenski and it goes through Wenberg on the half wall. Wenberg's a great story, too. If you remember at this time last year, a week from now, they traded Johansson to Nashville for Seth Jones and really changed the look of the team, really created a huge hole for them down the middle. Werenski's made that trade look really good. I mean, Seth Jones has made that trade look really good for them because he's really stepped forward here. But what Wenberg's done is allowed the hole that they created. He has started to fill that. He looks like a number one, number two centerman most nights. That's been a real big lift for them.
Tortorella, I spoke to John at length in Edmonton, because of course the Blue Jackets don't practice at the morning skates, and I just bumped into John. We had like a 10-minute conversation, and he seemed much more relaxed. Even that, and you know, now granted, I don't have a long running relationship with John. I've known him a few times over the years, and you know, we've had conversations here and there. But he seemed very different. And I pointed it out to him, and he said, "You know what? I've tried to be calmer. It's not who I am, but I'm trying." You're around the team. Have you noticed it? Is he significantly calmer, or is it something he still has to catch himself with?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have to consider. I think that this team is just. All their other stratospheric level of play, I don't know any coach that wouldn't be really calm or in a good mood at 25-5-4 when that was not expected. So I want to see him when things maybe aren't sailing in smooth waters. But I do think that he's changed. I do think that year away from Vancouver, after the Vancouver experience, that year away, I think he took account of himself and where this is going, how he relates with players, how players perform under him, and really, at what point is this beneficial to him? At what point is it not? The guy's a hell of a hockey coach. There can be no question about that. People who think he's not a good coach, I think, have more screws loose than he's been accused of having loose. He's won a cup. He turned the teams in New York. I think they played above their talent level and reached levels that probably they shouldn't have reached just based upon the names on paper. Not that they weren't good, but I don't think they were Eastern Conference finals repeatedly as they were under him. The guy knows what he's doing, but at some point it becomes counterproductive to what is the goal here. And yes, I do think he's different. He has to have been different in Columbus because it's such a young team. And I hear stories from players that, you know, they all have this built up opinion of who he is before he gets here. And then once they get to know him, it took the year. Last year was not a pleasant year for anybody in Columbus. I think they've seen a different side of him this year. And they love having, a lot of players who have played with him in the past have said this, they love having a guy that they feel as is as plugged in and wants to win so desperately as anybody they've ever been around. And that is the only thing that matters to him. And it comes off in weird ways that way. But I do think he's toned it down a bit here, but we'll see.
And, you know, that's, I don't know if you could always change exactly who you are. You could maybe, as we all become a little bit more calm at times. Now, you look at the success of this team, and they've been great. The one player, if you were looking at stats, just straight-up stats, who's not having a great year compared to last year is Boone Jenner. The team's having way more success, yep. So it's not much of an issue yet. But what's the difference in Jenner's game this year to last year when he scored 30 goals?
Yeah, I wish I knew. I mean, I think last year is an aberration. Okay. I don't think Boone Jenner is a 30-goal guy. Look at his ice time compared to last year. I think what's happened on among forwards is what's happened on defense as well, where on the back end, Werenski and Jones have become the number one pair, and Jack Johnson and Savard are now the number two pair, and that makes a lot more sense. Up front, when Johansson was traded, Dubinsky and Jenner both ascended sort of to the number one spot, and now clearly the number one line is Foligno, Saad, Wennberg. So they've got a ton of defensive zone starts, whereas before they would have had a bunch of offensive zone starts. But I just think this is Boone Jenner leveling off a bit. For me, he's a 20-22 goal scorer. I don't know that he's I think he could get there again, but I don't think you bank on 30 goals a year for him. I also think the pressure, I don't know that he ever saw himself necessarily as a 30-goal guy in the NHL. So the feeling that you live up to that or match that to prove it to be true, I think has weighed on him a little bit. But he's been taken off the hook here, and this is what good teams do, where, no, he's not having a great year, but there's so many guys here that you can list and go through about how they've had incredible improvements or they're doing incredible things for their age that it's really become a back burner issue.
Yeah, one of those guys, of course, Wennberg, who has 32 points on the season. Nick Foligno's had a real bounce back year. He's had 30 points. He only had 37 all of last year after having 73 the year before. Brandon Saad, Sam Gagne, of course, having a career year for him, 28 points already. His career high is 49 as a rookie way back in 2008. And so, you know, you can't have everybody scoring at one time, right? That's, I think, kind of what's there. And, you know, Columbus, when some of these guys maybe slow down, they hope that Boone Jenner can heat up.
Absolutely. And you know what? Jenner's one of those guys, too, that he's a playoff-type player. I say that, and people are rolling their eyes going, how the hell would somebody in Columbus know what a playoff player is? But he was unbelievable in the Pittsburgh series a couple of years ago. Really good. He's that kind of guy. Scott Hartnell's the kind of guy, along with Jenner, where, you think about him in a game. You obsess over them in a series. They're different kind of players when you got to go against them night in, night out, best of seven. And this team, it sounds crazy to say, I know, but they have some players that I think you prefer in just single games rather than in series because they can lean on you. It's not a fun team to play when they're playing well. I think a lot of teams have seen that so far this year.
And last one, Aaron Bobrovsky. who's lost 17 pounds, but he wasn't fat necessarily, but he's obviously got weight in better areas, wanted to limit the groin injuries. They're playing him a ton. Is there talk? I don't know. You mentioned they've played a lot fewer games than other teams, but he's right up there when it comes to minutes like Dubnyk and Cam Talbot here in Edmonton and Peter Budaj, who's kind of a surprise in L.A. What's the plan with the backup situation moving forward when Columbus gets into more of the meat of their schedule?
Yeah, well, the plan is to give Bobrovsky a more realistic workload the rest of the way. They're behind. They're going to be behind probably until March. They finish with a flurry of games the rest of the way. The last 4 or 5 weeks of the season, they play a ton of games. That's going to be tricky, and they're going to need a backup. They know they're going to need a backup. The question, of course, is who will be the backup. Right now it is Curtis McElhinney, who continues to defy the odds and keep a firm grip on his job. They've got two guys waiting in the wings in the American Hockey League, Anton Forsberg and Jonas Korpisalo, who are both pretty bright prospects, who I suspect if there's even the first hint of McElhinney struggling, those guys will be right up here to spell Bobrovsky late in the season. It's a tricky thing. It's something that must be considered because Bobrovsky has missed parts of each of the last three seasons with groin injuries. They have to be careful here. He is a different player. He looks different. He looks quicker. There's less weight and less tax on his joints because of the weight that he's lost. So far, so good. But, boy, that would be a absolutely devastating consequence if Bobrovsky were to suffer an injury after the way that the season has started.
And the thing is, McElhaney's numbers are off the charts good. He's got a .938 save percentage, .199 goal against. Like, has he played that well, or are you surprised because he's played so well they haven't played him more?
I would say yes on both counts. I am surprised when you and it's nothing against Curtis McElhinney. He's a guy that struggled to stay in the league, period. But any goaltender that goes 2.5 weeks between playing, that's a hard gig. He was unbelievable out in Phoenix when they won that great. They had 61 shots on goal and barely beat Phoenix. He was really good at home against the Kings last week in a game that maybe could have gone the other way easily as well. He has been really good, and I loved what he said in training camp when everybody expected him to go to the minor leagues and one of the two young kids to win the job. And Curtis McElhinney said, "It's my job, and I don't plan to give it up." And to his credit, so far we're halfway through the season, and he has not done that.
Aaron, as always, great to talk to you. Enjoy the game tomorrow night, man. The hockey world's going to be watching. It should be fantastic. And I'm kind of rooting for the Blue Jackets because then that's an even better story, as the Oilers will have a chance to knock them off on Tuesday night when they face them.
Right.
So all the best to you and yours in 2017, and we'll see how long this winning streak goes.
That's great. Jason, thanks for having me. Happy holidays to everybody.
You betcha. Aaron Portsline from the Columbus Dispatch.